The book of Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel, chapter 12. And verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Notice, so those that turn many to righteousness. So we said, the stars of Christianity are not those who accomplish natural feats. It says those that turn many to righteousness shall be as the stars forever and ever. So Christianity's stars, heroes, or Christianity's best, Christianity's models, are not people whose accomplishments are in the natural, even though there's nothing wrong in that. I think that in the first service, that our human accomplishments and fulfillments are our rights as human beings. But they should not be seen as fulfilling divine purpose. We also looked at the mind of Jesus, the will of God. That what could a Christian call the will of God? Our conclusion this morning was that every believer is a preacher of the gospel. Why? Because Jesus sent all of us out to preach the gospel. Mark 16:15-16. We also looked at 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself in verse 19, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed to us the message of reconciliation. So if anyone should ask you, are you a preacher? And you say no, you are denying who you are. Because everyone who is born again is a preacher by calling. See, I'm a preacher by purpose and by calling. Say again, I'm a preacher by purpose and by calling. Now you're a preacher of what? The preacher of the gospel of Christ. Everyone born again is a preacher. We said the only qualification to preach the gospel is to be saved. Is that clear? The only qualification is to be born again. The minute you are saved, you become a preacher of the gospel. Now, again, let's look at two texts we examined earlier in the morning. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 1. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19 and 20. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And we said that the joy of a believer, the crown, what we call the Christian's crown, is identified with the souls he has impacted or imparted with the gospel of Christ. Never forget that. My crown, my joy. That is, at the judgment seat of Christ, when every believer will stand, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10, Philippians 2, from verse 8 to verse 10, Romans 14, I believe verse 20 to 23, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15. Everyone will stand and he will receive rewards. And we said that that reward will be related with why Jesus came. You don't need to be told by any peculiar insight, why did Jesus come to this world? He says, Christ came to this world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said that of whom I am chief. He said, I have come to seek and save that which is lost. Luke 19:6. Luke 9:56. Son of man has not come to destroy but to save. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. John 1:10. He came to the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. As many as received him, to them he gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we don't have a shade of doubt or a shadow that the reason why Jesus came to this world at all is salvation. So if a man is asking for the will of God upon his life, or is looking for what does God want me to do, is that the person is willfully in disobedience or totally ignorant. You don't have to be told. You cannot confer divine will or the purpose of God on your career. Your career is your choice, which is okay, which is scriptural. Your choice of what to do, your choice of career, education, even your choice of marriage, that can be restricted because you have to also be married to saved people. You know, your choice of how many kids you want to have. You know, but when you begin to say, "What is God's will and purpose for my life?" It must be related with the man Christ Jesus. And so, whatever is paramount on the mind of God, or better still, the mind of Christ, becomes his will and purpose for your life. Is that clear? Is that very clear? But that said, we now began to say, what did Jesus tell us to do? Already, Daniel has said that those who turn into righteousness shall be as the stars forever. So, in a church that glorifies Jesus, they don't celebrate celebrities of the world. They don't celebrate politicians. They can honor them for the sake of their office, no doubt. But they don't celebrate politicians. They don't celebrate businessmen. They celebrate soul winners. Hallelujah. In a church where Jesus is glorified, they don't celebrate celebrities. They don't celebrate people's earthly status. They don't celebrate what they have or don't have. They celebrate the fact that they are carrying out the will of God in and on the earth. And so don't forget that it's important in what we are studying. Because you can take soul winning as a church activity. So that, I'm a member of a zone, I'm a member of a fellowship, so we go out. Beyond a church activity, beyond what Saints Community Church will do today or tomorrow, it is Jesus' commandment to you. So, it has nothing to do with where you are at a particular point in time. And this will inform many of us, because I'm going to share this into Christmas and all that, so that it will dawn on you very well. It will dawn on you very well. We have, unfortunately, in many places, not most places, we have turned spiritual realities into ceremonies. Into ceremonies. I was saying in the first service, ordination of people into ministry that ought to be sober, taken by prayer and fasting, now looks more like a coronation ceremony. Chieftain's title. You know, it's unfortunate. The birth of Jesus that ought to be a message that we teach all the time, his incarnation, his death, burial, resurrection, has now become a ceremony. We turn it into drama. We put trees, we now put palm fronts, and then children begin to, you know, everything just dramatized. And the reality, I call it the drama of Christmas, the emotions of Christmas, and forgetting the message itself. The message is salvation through faith in the death of Jesus. He was born to die. Hallelujah. If he was born and never died, he didn't fulfill his purpose. He came, was born so that he will die and save people from their sins. And that must be our message. So, we shouldn't see reaching out to the lost as that activity they do, and all that. No. First of all, see it as God's ultimate, most important, and primary will in the earth. If you are watching this conference, you notice there was a scripture I asked us to keep looking at that says, all flesh is like grass. That the Old Testament so emphasized the vanity of things that any message that attaches importance to material things or earthly things is at best anti-gospel. So, God is not, the will of God is not about Nigeria moving from recession to possession. It's of no consequence. Okay? Because there are nations that have prospered materially, and they are prospering materially, and they will keep prospering materially, and they reject the gospel. Am I making any sense here? Of course, there are those who also prosper materially and have accepted the gospel. So it's not a sign of anything. So you and I, in our minds, we must see the preaching of the gospel as a responsibility. A Christian that does not preach the gospel is an irresponsible Christian. A Christian that does not preach the gospel is an irresponsible Christian. No matter how old he is. No matter how many years he or she has been in the faith. So look at 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 2. What is your joy today? What's your crown? Can you point to a crown here? Like I said in the first service, the judgment of God is not a surprise package. It's not like, you know, it's the same way you go to court and you don't know what the judge will say. Or, the example I gave earlier, you want to, how people collect awards for maybe music or drama and all that in the world, and then there's a suspense. Best screenplay of the year. And we don't know. And they just say, Sophia in London. And that's more recent. No. It's just like speech and prize giving day in the secondary school and primary school. You know, it's not something you faith. You don't start believing that your name will be there. You saw your marks. It's in your report card. You scored 20 over 100. Except that school was set up to produce failures. You should not even go for it. To go and clap. You know? You score 40. You don't have to say, why was my name not there? What was he doing there? Do you understand? You didn't write down and you went to go and check your name on the admission list. As what? Do you understand? It was not random sampling of those who were in secondary school. You must have done an exam and passed the exam. So there's no surprise at God's judgment. You will know exactly at the end of your life, you will know what you will meet after. It's not going to be a surprise package. So, why did we say all that? If you don't have a crown or crowns here on earth, you can't have it after. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, and what is our hope? Our joy or crown of rejoicing are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Let's read verse 30 together, 20 together. Let's go. 1 Thessalonians 2:20. Let's go. For you are and joy. You are our glory. That is, if we are looking for the glory of a believer, what a believer glories in, he glories in what has been done in men. And that should be paramount on our hearts. And important. We said also in the first service, Jesus is not sending us into all the world to marry. He sent us into the world to have children. He sent us to, though they are our choices and their scripture. This sounds all the world, just like saying that God sent you the world to be breathing. Breathing is scriptural, but that's not like this. The will of God for me on earth is to be breathing or to be eating. Do you understand? Say, I'm fulfilling the will of God. Why? I'm eating. Say, why? Because it is scriptural to eat. You have tried. Anybody who is on earth can eat. But then, you begin to look at the divine will of God from the point of examining Jesus. Jesus came to the earth to save. He didn't come to the earth to empower anybody to be rich. In fact, none was. He didn't come to the earth to make anybody an academic wizard. In fact, nobody was by him. He didn't come to the earth to make people marry. He didn't conduct a single wedding ceremony. He didn't come to the earth to, he didn't lay hands on anybody to have children. Go and check scripture. He didn't lay hands on anybody whose husband was his spirit husband and has to be cast out for a demon wife. He didn't do anything like that. His focus. He did not cancel anybody as touching choice of career. Am I making sense? He didn't do a series on how to come out of unemployment. His message applied to everybody. Employed, unemployed. Inasmuch as the unemployed will not say his unemployment is the will of God. Or the employed will say his employment is the will of God. Are you following what I'm saying? You must learn to separate the gospel from things that are natural desires. You don't have to be born again to want to be first in your class. If you didn't want to be first in your class, please get born again. Because it's a normal thing to want to excel. It's not a divine inspiration. It's just natural. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, we begin to see that when you say our crown and our joy, it's specific. Lives. Look at 2016, like I was saying in the first service. This is the 18th day of the last month. Look back at precisely maybe 350 days or so and ask yourself, how many lives have you changed from sinner to saint, the kingdom of darkness to light? If there is none, you simply live an irresponsible life throughout this year. You have been irresponsible and you have been you've been jonesing as a Christian. You are a joneser. You are fumbling all over. You have not lived the Christian life. And shame on you. So, it's incumbent on you. It's vital. It's so important that we see this as the will of God. Now let's get again to Romans 10 and then Mark 16. Open both. Romans 10 first, then Mark 16. We had looked at Romans 10 earlier. I just want us to review it again. Now Paul says in verse 13, I want us to read Romans 10 from verse 12 to verse 15. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Romans 10 from verse 12 to verse 15. Let's go. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon. Let's take it together. I think I was the only one reading this. Let's go. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14. How then shall they? Now I want us to pause at each question. Okay? And look at there's just one answer. Okay? Let's go one by one. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So, that means to call on Jesus, you have to first of all believe. Second question, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? That means, before they believe, they must have heard. So it's not that you were born into a Christian family. You must have heard. Okay, the last one. How shall they hear without a preacher? Okay, so what makes a man call on Jesus is that he has believed. Okay? What makes him believe is that he has heard. He can only hear if somebody tells him. So the most important person in that, most important element in that verse is the person who will preach. Verse 15 says, how shall they preach except they be sent? So the question is, have we been sent? Have we been sent? Yes. So, go to Mark 16. Don't forget what we said earlier in the first service, that nobody is saved because he was prayed for. Nobody has asked you to pray for the salvation of souls. It's an empty prayer. It's like having a submachine gun or Uzi, okay, and then using plastic bullets. Prayer is effective, But pray the right thing. No one has asked you to go into all the world and make intercession or prayer for all men. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world. We said the first instruction there is what? Go. Into all the world. So, a Christian is always on a mission. Every believer ought to be a missionary. Say, I'm a missionary. Say it loud. I'm a missionary by calling. That's what you are. Every believer ought to be a missionary by calling. Look at Acts 8. We'll look at a few examples today, then we'll continue later on. Look at Acts 8. So the first instruction is to go. So he said, send me to where? You are singing in doubt, unbelief, and pride. Send me. There's also, I think there's some Ghanaian. You know the song? When you ask him to send you, when he has sent you are the one sending him now. We will sing, go Jesus, go Jesus, go. He asked you to go, he asked you to go too. It shows how foolish we have been. Acts 8. Let's look at this scenario very well. I may have shared this on last day of World Changers Conference. If evangelism was a church activity, it wouldn't be so in this scenario. They had just killed Stephen. Was the first martyr recorded in the book of Acts. And here was the church. You know, I thought the first thing the church would do is to write a petition to the National Assembly. Or do a Facebook page in defense, I stand with Stephen. You know, I thought the thing was that the church would say, we can't take it again. Or there will be a series in the services on why Christians must take political offices. Look at what happened to our brother Stephen. If you were the king or the deputy to Herod, would that have happened? It makes sense. Acts 8. Imagine how would our service look like if you bring a comedian? The day that happens, don't come again. The Holy Ghost is no longer here. Just believe that this man has lost his family. His enemies have caught up with him. The day that happens, just know it. Forget it. Yes. I told someone, I said, I'd rather. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I think I don't want to see. It makes sense. Ask it. So they didn't do all that, okay? And the Bible says that the devout men, verse 2, carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, that is, people left. They that were scattered abroad, that is, they left Jerusalem. If it was a church activity, it's demystified in the moment. They were scattered. That is, the church, people left church. It's like saying, somebody, you know, they left church, they went to NYSC. This is not NYSC, but they scattered. That is, there was a time that people just left the services. They just left the churches. Services were not holding like before. So they left. You know? People traveled. But there must have been a culture they all had. The Bible records in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went what? Everywhere preaching the word. Do you know why they did that? They had been taught that way. That is, They didn't run for dear life. That was an opportunity presenting itself. Because if you were not preaching everywhere in Jerusalem, you won't preach everywhere in Samaria. So they went everywhere, preaching the word. They did it in the airplane, in the train, in the buses. They did it with the Okada. They went everywhere preaching the word. So one person that was singled out, pay attention here, was Philip. Don't forget, Philip, pay attention here. Philip was a deacon. Two chapters before then, there was an issue on sharing of food and all that. I was saying this at World Changers Corner. I want to remind you, if you came, that what happened in Acts 6 is instructive. There was a natural need. People needed food. The widows were being neglected. And it wasn't just people, just in widows. Okay? As Scripture says that the apostle said, look, we will not leave the word of God to serve tables. That is instructive. There is nothing to leave the word of God to do. It can't be important. See, the greatest charity, if somebody is hungry, he hasn't eaten for 4 days, okay? And he's hungry, he's poor, okay? And you gave him food to eat, a noble cause. He does not measure up to a word, just a sentence about the gospel. It doesn't measure up. But it looks like, what are you saying? It doesn't measure up at all. In John 6, Jesus had the cause to multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish. And let me just say this well. Jesus never called people to come and eat rice and beans. Bread and fish. Because people use that as an excuse, say, for Jesus, he was teaching and preaching. And they had been there for days and week. So he said, don't send these people away. Let's find them food to eat. It's not that they went to call them to come and eat. I hope you are getting the difference. As they were eating, to understand the place of reverence, as they were eating like this, and everybody, he now said, see, when you eat this thing, you will die. That was the follow-up of the food. He said, don't labor for the meat that perishes. He said, those your father, they ate mine and the other, and they are dead. He said, there is the true bread. That when you eat of it, you will never hunger anymore. So, those are instructive things. That we don't put the cart before the horse. Helping people, assisting people naturally, is an addendum. It's not a major issue at all. And let me even go further. And this may not go down well some folks, but truth is this. Giving material aid is not an outreach. Anybody doing it is just doing a nice thing. Your first port of call to helping the needy is in the local church. Go and check all scriptural references. You see it. Every time it is done in the epistles, was for the believers and the book of Acts. Is it wrong to give to unsaved? No. I just told you scriptural precedence. You know, we have a way we revise the Bible based on how we think. It shouldn't be like that. It's just like someone was telling me that he doesn't think that God will send people to hell. I said, you are right. He said, so those people will go to hell. I said, why? He said, God is too good. Why would you go to hell? And I asked him a question. I said, do you sin? He said, he does. God should be too good to allow you to sin. it should have stopped you. I said, no, it can't stop me. I said, why? I said, it does not control people. I said, exactly. So going to hell is a choice. And God in his love will watch it happen. Hallelujah. You follow my point? God in his love will watch a man go to hell. And he will love him to hell. Amen. People like to theorize things and, you know, logical. So, they went everywhere, don't let's lose that, to preach the word. That's what they did. And I was talking about Philip. So in today's church, Philip is your deacon today, has become another chieftaincy title. But a deacon in Acts 6 and 1 Timothy 3 is somebody who superintends natural things in the local church. It's just like an usher. Okay? And one important thing was that even to choose deacons who were going to serve food, the qualification was that he must be full of the word and full of the spirit. It's not, let's look for your experience. Where you come from, you're a banker. You are that right person to take care of our money. What do you do? Used to work for one NGO. Come and do, you know. No. Full of the spirit. That is, people giving to the gifts of the spirit and the word. That's why the minute they laid hands on them, the first thing we heard was that the word of God multiplied. And secondly, Stephen was doing miracles and preaching the gospel. The other personality we heard of was Philip, one of those seven, and he was going somewhere preaching the gospel. So if someone is a deacon in a local church, and he's not given to evangelism, his title is earthly. It's an earthly function. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. It's good, commendable, noble, but it is not scriptural. So you can find it, this guy, now assuming Stephen or Philip was a typical, you know, person who just came to church and he has a natural skill and that's what he does. He maybe just plays keyboard and that's what's in his head. All he does in church is he just takes care of technical department, that's all, security and stuff like that. He won't go to Samaria and preach. It obviously shows that there was a mission-mindedness taught by the apostles that made every believer know that we are all preachers by calling. Say, I'm a preacher by calling. Every believer is a preacher. Preaching the gospel is not bequeathed to any class. Everyone born again is a preacher. So, and that's what informed me. So, as he got to Samaria, he went to preach the word. Do you know, he didn't go to talk about Jesus. Or, you know, about the church. He didn't go to Samaria to talk about, is this church I used to attend in Jerusalem? Apostle Peter, that man is anointed. But if we look at our church leaders, have you heard of John? Apostle John. Beautiful gate. You never heard of Beautiful Gate? Didn't hear of Beautiful Gate. What have you been doing? Go and check our website. You don't know, you didn't hear the exploit in Jerusalem. Okay, I'll give you a flash drive for our ministry. I'll give you a flyer. He went there and he preached Christ. In other words, it was not a church activity. It was a Christian's responsibility. So, Jesus says to go. And we said, it's incumbent on you to go. To go will mean you will create time. To go will mean you will park your car. Or something like that, who joined this, was it, outside the committee then? They were going in car. Park your car! Get down from your car and go and do evangelism. Which one is all this episode? Put your car down, park it at home. How can you do evangelism in the car? How do you want to do it? You put megaphone on it? Get down from your car! And go to where people are. nightclubs. Don't we do evangelism in the service? See, the Lord says, those who come to church are no longer sinners. They are just sins that did not know they were born again. Go to nightclubs. Go under the bridge. Go to the markets. Hallelujah. There was one time we wanted to do evangelism in an hotel. The way the brethren were praying. They were praying for themselves. Brother was not sure. So we are going to the prostitute, so and we'll go and pay, we'll actually go and pay, you know, for the services. That's how many we'll pay extra. What are you afraid of? Nothing, just praying that the power of God should take over. Take over what? Were you ever going to be tempted? Yes. You were praying hard. Why would you pray that hard? You go to a nightclub, you go to gay bars to preach the same message. Hallelujah. You go to areas, you go on the streets. I mean, you create conversation. Like I was saying in the first service, this is a Christmas period. People have a feeling of Christmas. You know, even though they have substituted everything with ceremony, there's Santa Claus, you know. Who is another Christ? Santa Claus, there is Christmas tree instead of the cross of Jesus. There's all sorts of things. There's manger, all sorts of things. But the fact is that people's minds are on Jesus. Believer, non-believer. Whether Jesus is a manger boy, or as a manger himself. Their mind is on that. So for us, it's an opportunity to create discussions. Conversations. And then share the gospel. Don't put in the gospel. Don't chip in. This is a good word and chip in the gospel. I just chipped it in. Briefly chipped it in. Don't chip it in. Preach it. Hallelujah. It's the power of God unto salvation. So we're going to see two instances. You will go to the person. In two instances in this place, number one, Philip went to Samaria and he preached he preached Christ to them. He went. You take the initiative by yourself. You go by yourself. Don't spend time praying about it. You will go. How can they believe except how can they call on whom they have not believed? How can they believe what whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a, not without a church, without a preacher? So here is Philip. He goes to Samaria and he preaches. So Philip takes on a whole city. It's assumed, historically, don't quote me, that Samaria had between 10 and 20,000 people. So let's assume 10 and 20,000 people, one single individual. Just one person. He goes to the place, and he preaches in such a way that the whole place heard about him. There was no megaphone. There was no Facebook Live. There was no billboard. He didn't go to a stadium. He didn't use buses and put Jesus loves you on all BRT buses. He didn't use drones to know where people were. He didn't wear shirts. Jesse, Jesus loves you. He didn't wear armband or wristband. He didn't have the resources we all have today. He didn't use SMS. He didn't even have tracts. Philip went down to Samaria. He went by himself. and preached Christ. Like Pastor Christian, okay, let me say oftentimes that you read those stories and then you imagine that you are going to the same heaven with this person. I mean, know there are some things. You know that sometimes you have some people and you can't even say you are a Christian. You know why? When they are talking about the Christian life, you will find out you have none. No, I'm not joking. I've been in places where people are talking and I couldn't say anything. And I left where to have lunch and the thing was getting bitter in my mouth. So this is civil zone. And I said, Pastor Christian, you want to eat your food? I said, I almost am fasting. Yeah. You know, if some things don't challenge you, I said in the first service, either you are not born again or you are too far to be called a Christian. You are a Christian, though, but it's only in your spirit that it can be seen. There are some things that should challenge you as a Christian. So you are going to the same heaven with these kind of people. There are people in China that don't have half of our half. They don't even have comfort. They meet in caves. Caves. And then they go and under persecution, they preach. They have millions who have accepted the gospel by one or one. Because they can't even do crusade. They can't do, if you do crusade, that's the end. You will be the one that will be crusaded. And you are going to the same heaven with that kind of person that you have so much opportunities. Are you following what I'm saying here? Philip went down to Samaria. He went to Shomolu himself. He went to Mushin. He went himself. See, as a Christian, let me say this. As a younger believer, and I'm going to see them back on it shortly in a few weeks from now. We used to just go. We'll just go to the village. Not crusade though. We'll just go. And we'll mark out and we'll just be going. And preaching. In this traffic, only this year we didn't have this. We used to do, we'll go to villages. We've gone to huts, hamlets. Hamlets, what do you call it? Where you have just 3-4 houses. To preach. Maybe I've had that experience here. Yeah. We have to have more next year. We'll go there. They don't speak your grammar. You won't hear anything like epanatosis. Epanatosis, go. Tossing. You better preach Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? Knowing evangelism does not win souls. Understanding that Christ died for us. Knowing that salvation is forever. Knowing the Greek word of salvation, soteria. Understanding the intercessory work of Jesus, having that as such, does not win a single soul until you preach. Until you what? Your knowledge has no impact till someone receives the gospel. So we used to go. I would go from village. There's one place we went to. And the problem was a small area. They just said we should wait. I didn't know what it was because I was new to that kind of experience. He just said, sir. That was on my head. They were stoning us. Come and see race. My slippers are still there. I didn't go back. Yes, you go. A Christian must have such experiences. You go and preach. Philip went down. Samaria to preach. Don't forget, he didn't have a car. You know, say Philip drove down to Samaria. Or Philip flew into Samaria. Or Philip sent a mail to Samaria. Or Philip wrote a post and Samaria read it. Or Philip, help me out. Retweeted. As Samaria retweeted. Philip went down to Oshodi. He went into Iwaya. Hallelujah. Go don't start going to say, I have a burden for Kutono, and you have not gone to Abuja. You know, you are the person they call an unserious person. You are not ready to work. Go down yourself. You go to Lekki. You go to Ikoyi to preach. Hallelujah. You go. Many of us are so irritated at Jehovah Witnesses. They will come and they'll, that's how they carry their catechism bag. And 2 by 2, they go, Kokolo, Kokolo, ke, to come and sell book. But do you know they've been doing it for years? Do you know that they go to anywhere, any estate? And we say they are false because of what they preach. Judah is not false. What have you done with the gospel? Brother Hagin used to say that if there's something to emulate from Jehovah's Witnesses, is the fact they can knock on any door. Let the door have wood. Let it have rock. You see? You just see them. You'll be angry. You're angry because you're born again. And but do you know that they have a very fast conversion rate? They do. In the world today, they have over 300,000 missionaries. Maybe people don't know. They do. And they train their people to that their bulletin. Or that their book that they draw Adam and Eve and serpent and they. Many of you read it as children. In my head till today, I still have that picture when I'm studying the Bible. They've done that thing eternally. I can't move away from the fact that there was a serpent and red apple. With all my study of God's word, the little I've done, I still have red apple somewhere at the back of my head. That is impact. Because there was an aggression, an aggressiveness to what they were doing. Something to learn. Philip, one person, went out to Samaria and he preached Christ. Hallelujah. I was somewhere yesterday to inaugurate a church and the pastor was talking about another pastor friend who taught him how to go from room to room in university to preach. Room to room. Room to room. Room to room. He said, this guy taught me entrepreneurship. I was telling someone, I said, you see, when churches begin to busy themselves with things like that, and teach people how to make air, so we want to empower them. Why are you using the simple ones that you're dressing? Empower them with medicine, no? Teach them medicine. Surgery. You want to teach people skills, teach them surgery, no? Engineering, teach them. And when they learn the surgery, let them go and know. It's the low hanging fruit. the almost insignificant things. Let's face our mission. Hallelujah. Let's face our mission. Our mission, somebody does not know how to preach the gospel, I teach him how to make hair. How to make soap. So God gave his spirit to you. To do what people can do under the bridge. Muslims will do these things with ease. And that's why he gave you his spirit. To do people how to make soap or pancake. Say we're empowering people. No, you are disempowering them. Nothing wrong in a pastor telling people, look, go and get skills. Do you understand? But go and get it where they get it. Here, Philip went down to Samaria. He went to preach Christ. He didn't go and teach them pancake. Went to preach Christ. Must face that and face it squarely. When you get to heaven and you are going to go one day, say, I'm young. You can't say that for long. One day you will get there. And then say, what did you do with your life? Say, I had 4 degrees. There's one guy I saw, an Indian, that had 300 and something degrees. Is it 300 and something? He was very fast like this. His entire life was degree. I said, Let me find any Christian who has this. That doesn't believe the gospel. So he says, eternal life is enhancing me. That's someone that doesn't have anything eternal. Eternal has only degrees. You could see the guy that all his life is book. And it's vain. That's why when you do any job, if anybody dies, they don't retain the seat. So you know that guy will never see someone like that. Let's just leave his position the way it is. I know whatever he has done there will just keep doing itself. They'll just say, hey. In fact, the next day they'll have acting. And they have butter adverts for someone to replace you. What they owe you is 1 minute silence. They will donate it freely. They just, for our departed colleague. You don't even know up to 1 minute. May the soul of the departed rest. Amen. As we were saying at the last board meeting. So the God you never had time for, you will see him. The men you had time for, they have moved on. And they will always move on. There's nobody that this world stopped because of him. Ah, this one is no more. Everybody stop! Let's do things that have eternal value. Hallelujah. Paul says, you are my joy. You are my crown. Who is your joy this year? Your crown. Someone who is in Christ because of you. Philip went out to Samaria and he preached Christ. Now look at chapter 8 again. I just rushed over this. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, verse 26, Acts 8, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this child. So we can see, he engages one individual. One person. Now, this person is a fellow of influence and clout. So the gospel goes to everybody. Whether you have influence, well, influence and clout. And Philip, look at what he preached to the guy. He understands that what thou readest. He says, how can I accept some man should guide me? He said that Philip should come up and sit with him. And so they found a place where he read was Isaiah 53 verse 32 now. And then Enoch answered Philip in verse 33. I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? I'm going to explore this later next week. Obviously this man had been searching. We'll see an example next week of those who don't have scripture at all. How the gospel was preached unto them. We're going to see that. But this one was already searching. So the fact that somebody is studying scripture, has Bible, or has something, I almost mentioned something. I will have said it until, anyway. I put a sticker on his door and say, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus or blood of anything. Does not mean he is saved. I mean, if you saw someone read scripture loud, you say, this guy is committed. He read it loud for people passing to hear this, and he was even quoting Isaiah 53, and he was talking about Jesus. You'll have to say, Christocentricity. In evangelism, you ask questions. In Acts 19, Paul asked those guys, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? But he said, we've not heard any Holy Ghost. He said, unto what then were you baptized? So in evangelism, you ask what? You ask questions. Ask questions. Because somebody's name is Paul. Or his name is Jesus. Doesn't mean he's in Christ. Ask questions. In 1994, we went on one missionary trip just outside the Ojo. And we're talking about Jesus. And they told us collectively in that community that Jesus, he died in Lagos. Was like a joke. But Frank said, just keep quiet. I said, is he a film? They were referring to Jesus Oyibo. None of you don't know Jesus Oyibo. Jesus Oyibo. And that's what they thought. You'll be surprised at what I went to Zimbabwe years back to preach, and a pastor of a church, a large congregation, said Jesus is one of the gods of their land. He said it on the pulpit. So don't assume. Ask questions. The fact that somebody has a wristband or even wears a chain, that Jesus is hanging on the cross, is even a proof that you need to preach to him. He has answered your question. So ask questions. And the Bible says, beginning at that same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. For preaching is engaging in conversation. It's not just saying, "Good, you have been drinking alcohol for the past 6 days. Your liver will destroy. Are you a nutritionist? You have been smoking. Have you already eaten the federal minister of health that smoking is dangerous for your health?" Who's saying to say all that? They all preach that in the sermon. They say, "You say you're a rich man. Vanity upon vanity. Are you jealous? Is that the gospel of you? All is vanity." You know. Hallelujah. Engage in conversations. Ask questions. But the guy, this season that we're in, people, for whatever reason, they think about Jesus. In fact, the pastor is likely going to write a national speech and say, in celebration of the birth of, he will probably call it the prophet, because of where he's coming from. Some governors, they won't even read the speech. Somebody will just write it on their behalf and greet all Christians, Merry Christmas. So it's in everyone's mind. The atheist also enjoys the holiday. He doesn't believe in God, but he enjoys the holiday. So it's an opportunity. Okay? For all of us to take an. If you go to your village, for those of you who are December missionary to villages, if don't go and gather around bushfire. Whatever it is, wherever you are a missionary Christian. Hallelujah. You are a missionary Christian. Listen, there's no greater joy than someone should repent and believe the gospel. We'll explore more of that next week. Jesus says that, look, there's more joy in heaven over one from 99 who are in LMA and studying voraciously to 99. There's one joy, more joy over one person who accepts the gospel than 1 million people who are in WCC and they are laboring in tongues. The end point of their prayer is still that one soul. The end point of all we are knowing in God's word, who you are in Christ, is still for that purpose. So let that dominate you. Pray for me, I close. Last year, I'm going to share this story, I'm going to share it again. I was in the States, at Christmas, divine privilege, but somehow by mistake, I found myself missing my flight and all that. So, it just gave me a point to think. I passed through airports. I think I flew through London. So, I like to observe. I said to myself, well, this is supposed to be a festive season. Some people are wearing Father Christmas stuff and all that. Some are, Christmas tree. But I was just, some people were not in that mood. People that were security officials, the pilots, he didn't jump out of the car and say, we're in the manger. We are going down to the manger now. The air traffic controllers, people were at their duty posts, while some were in festivity. Those who were taking care of power were at their posts. Security folks were at their posts. doctors had to be at their post. They'll be on call. If I think there's some doctors here during the end of year service, they had to rush back to the hospital. You know, it always works like that. So I said to myself, that means some people are called essential duties. They can't afford to switch off. How much more the preacher of the gospel? In the midst of the festivities, you should never forget that people will not stop going to hell because it's Christmas. Sin won't stop. Satan doesn't go on holiday. Satan does not go and see Father Christmas or Santa Claus. There is no time we are not called to be steadfast. The Bible says in season and out of season. All of us are called to preach the gospel. Irrespective of our career, professions, pursuits, which God is not against. Irrespective of your age, you are called to preach the gospel of Christ. Philip went down to Samaria. It's time for you to go to Ikeja. It's time for you to go to Oputimeta. It's time for you to go to Mushi. It's time for you to go to Isolo, Iwaya, Manike, the campus, knock on the doors, the halls. It's time for you to go to Ibebisabe. It's time for you to say nations, nations. Nations are all around you. Philip went down to Samaria. Who is that person? That is in God's kingdom today, this year, because of you. I'll close and say this. You'll be surprised that the number of churches we have in Nigeria does not exactly tell us that there are many believers as such. Sometimes what we have is that people are changing churches, not that they are receiving the gospel. Take it upon yourself to go and preach the gospel. Amen. Let's bow our heads and just pray. Let's pray. I want us to commit ourselves again to this task, to this work. In your community, in your state, in your area, in your estate, wherever you live, Toki, Oshodi, wherever you live, you have a mandate there. You are that missionary Christian. Make it a duty to go down to Samaria, to go. Don't wait for people to come to you and ask you questions. No, go there. Philip went to meet Enoch before questions were asked. Paul went to Ephesus. You must go. Yes, ending. Where's your joy? Where's your crown? Where's that investment of the gospel you made to your life, that in eternity you are going to find it there? All flesh is grass, and the glory fades away, so is the life of man. Only the gospel of Christ will endure forever. Tell yourself that truth. Commit yourself. We are a student, we are a parent. Wherever you are, in working class, whatever situation you are in, does not remove that awesome divine responsibility in your life. Make sure this week you step into this responsibility and fulfill it. Amen.